Hello, my name is Della Kopp with CPA.com. Welcome to the 2020 Digital CPA Podcast. Today, I would like to welcome Ed Kless, Senior Director of Partner Development and Strategy at Sage.
How are you? Well, thanks, Della. I'm great, Della. Good to be with you.
Good. You want to share a little bit about yourself and your company?
Sure. I've been at Sage for 17 years, which is a pretty long time to be one place. But the reason why I've been able to stay here so long is I have the best job at Sage. And that is that I work with our partner organizations, and these are now mostly folks in the accounting profession, but it also does cross over to our mid-market partners as well in helping them make their businesses better. So I'm a consultant to people who do consulting, so that I have put on LinkedIn that I'm a meta consultant.
That's a good term to use. So Ed, the Digital CPA Conference is coming up, and we're having it as a virtual conference this year. So the conference opportunities, specifically learning, they focus on driving transformation of practice areas, introducing emerging technologies, and leading innovation and research. So with the Digital CPA Conference and that virtual event environment this year, we're going to bring together individuals in the profession to share practical strategies and applications to help people and firms become future ready. So Ed, would you share how you would enable the Digital CPA community to be successful?
Well, sure. And Digital CPA, by the way, is one of my favorite events to go to because there are so many forward-thinking people there. There's going to be a lot more folks at Digital CPA who might be novices this time, and that's fine. We do welcome you, and I think that's a direct result of COVID-19. I saw an internet meme yesterday that really, I think, sets the tone for what we're seeing, and that is the question was, who's driving change management inside your organization? And choice one was your CEO, choice two is your CFO, choice three was your chief technology officer, and choice four was COVID-19. And that was the box that was checked. So we're seeing the large scale adaptation of a lot of technologies that, in my opinion, have really been around for a while and are ready for prime time and have been ready for prime time. I think it was a futurist, Arthur C. Clarke, who said that the future is here. It's just unevenly distributed. And I think what this is now leveling the playing field, because those that aren't able to very quickly adapt to this innovation and change are not going to be able to last. I mean, if you cannot get on a Zoom call, obviously, with some of your customers right now, you're not going to be able to meet with them. So that's a big huge challenge. But in terms of what do I see just in driving this, I think that all change really begins with shifts in language. I think, and there's a famous author who was the head of the Earhart Seminar Trainings, EST, Werner Earhart, back in the 70s. He was a kind of a wacky guy, but he's one of my idols because he's one of the few people who actually beat the IRS in a tax adjudication case. He said all change, all transformation is linguistic. And I think that there is really something to that. We need to begin to change the language that we use inside our organizations. And I'll give you a very simple one that I just used earlier. It might have fallen on with some difficulty on some of the listeners' ears, and that is the word customer in the CPA profession. And I really do think that we have to start to begin to people to start to think of folks as customers rather than clients. And here's why. The word client has, in my opinion, a lot of baggage with it. In fact, the original term client comes from a Latin word, clientele, which means one who leans. So the Latin word is also the root for words incline, decline, recline. That CLIE piece was about, you know, is an angle. And the Roman lawyers had clients, and they were the great unwashed. They were the people that they had to serve for free, because lawyers in Roman times did not charge for their services at all. It was all appointed. And the word still has this meaning in social work today, right? Social workers have clients. Mm-hmm. And I think, unfortunately, this notion of our clients who we have to fix, we literally have, they're leaning, and once a year they bring us their stuff and we got to fix them. And that's not, I think, the long-term relationship that we want to have. And where the innovation and technology comes in is all of this stuff that you know, Sage, as well as others can do, allows things like transactions to just get sucked into the accounting system automatically. And maybe the accountant or bookkeeper is reclassifying where they go. But for the most part, all of that data entry should be, for the most part, gone. And so now what do? You now have to elevate it to this place where, instead of just doing compliance work and making sure the numbers are right, you have to be able to give advice. And it's going beyond that. And I think that's one of the main transformations. So it's around those things like language. So moving from client to customer, because customer is this notion of one whose custom it is. It's an Anglo-Saxon word that has a more repetitive relationship meaning to it, in my view.
That's very interesting to have that perspective and thinking forward, or even right now. What do you think is your perspective on leading innovation and research in these different areas? Technology, language.
Yeah, and it's a great question to ponder and thought. I don't think that there's clearly not an answer. And in terms of the innovation, I've said what I've said about innovation, that I think it begins with the language change. With regard to research, you know, I'm a little bit of a research skeptic, in that I think there's so many problems with data collection. And if there's one thing that the COVID-19 crisis has taught us, is that having bad data leads to muddled conversations. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of research, especially into innovation, is challenging in that conclusive data is only available about the past. This is a Clayton Christensen concept. So if by definition, data is about what happened, because it's been measured in the past. So the question really becomes is, what are you doing to become more predictive of where you as an organization need to go, of where your customers are going to be? And in this sense, one of the things that I talk about a lot on my radio show with Ron Baker is this notion of shifting from KPIs, meaning key performance indicators, to key predictive indicators. So what are the things that we can begin to measure that will allow us to peer into the future, that will give us a theory of what is coming, a canary in a coal mine, if you will, as opposed to just looking at the financial data, which we know is all about yesterday. And what's interesting about this is that most of this data, and this is where the research piece comes in, is more about future-looking opinion than it is about having hard and fast data, because you're never going to have data about the future. Does that make sense?
It does.
Right. And what's interesting about this notion of data is that, in a lot of ways, and I'm not the first one to come up with this, by the way. There's a lot of people have thought through this, but data in an organization can become like a substance abuse problem. We can abuse data in the way we abuse alcohol and drugs, in that we have people who are obsessed with having data-driven decisions. And by the way, I'm not opposed to data. What I am opposed to is I'm opposed to getting so lost and muddled in the data that you don't make a decision. Right. At a certain point, we have to have a theory of the future, of what we think the future is going to be like, and we have to take that risk because we can't know it. So get to the point where you feel about 80% confident in your decision and move. And I think that far too many people, especially those in perhaps CFO type roles, might be waiting for 95 or 99 or even 99.9% of clarity. And by then, in my opinion, it's too late. Then you can almost by definition no longer be innovative to work. We do have, I think, in the sense, this fear of failure, yet failure is what we learn from too. I'm getting a little bit deep, but one of the things that we hear about the economy is that it's a profit system, right? It's a system based on profits. And one of the things that Milton Friedman, the great economist, taught us is it's also a loss system. It's profit and loss. And the losses indicate something. When a company is not making money, it is because it is not doing stuff that is of value to its customers anymore. That's why it's losing money. I also think, and this is a total tangent, but I also think it's interesting that we use the word make money. Notice we don't take money, we make money. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's a really important thing to note, because, you know, far too many people think that, I just saw an article that, you know, it said that the 1% have taken $51 trillion from the 99% over the last 100 years. And I'm like, really? 51 trillion? They didn't have it. How did they get it then?
Right.
I'm sorry, getting back to this notion of innovation, innovation involves taking risks, and mm-hmm. it involves being that risk taker. That's what entrepreneur means. And one who takes a risk, one who undertakes.
Yes, that's true. I would say that is a lot what we see with the digital CPA community as well, that these people all come to have peer interaction, to learn new things from the presenters that are there, from the people that they speak with, and their takeaways, you know, help with the transition or transformation that may occur once they're back in their own work environment. So what would you say you're looking most forward to this year as part of the Digital CPA conference?
You know, getting together with everyone. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, yes, via the virtual environment.
Yes. Via the virtual environment I don't know how to say this. It was fun for a while. Now I really want to get back to people. And
yes.
By the way, I am not anti-mask wearing. I'm not. But I miss seeing people's smiling faces. I actually miss that as a human being. I miss it. But, you know, that's, of course, out in public. But mm-hmm. I think from a virtual environment standpoint, there are still a lot of things that we can do together in these cool spaces. I've been to a couple of virtual conferences in the last couple of months, and it's not the same. It's not the same, but there's also some advantages to it. And what we need to do is think about what those advantages are and prepare ourselves to leverage them when we attend.
I agree.
And I'll leave that as an open question to what are those things for you and your audience.
With our exhibitors, what they bring to the table and new technologies that may increase the capabilities of your firm once you're back there and trying to implement something new. So I'm looking forward to that and just hearing some of our keynote presenters this year as well. So Jeffrey Rogers from Radical is one of them, and we have an economist that's going to be presenting, so looking forward to those.
Yeah, absolutely, as am I. So
good. Well, Ed, thank you for sharing your thoughts and some background about SAGE and leading in innovation and research. Those data parameters that we all are sometimes confined to and breaking free of them. Are there any final words that you would like to share?
Nope, just looking forward to see everybody. Stop by the SAGE booth, whatever virtually that is, and see what we've got going on. There's some pretty cool stuff that we are one of the acquirers that I just talked about. We acquired AutoEntry in the last year, and of course have released a product, new product in the small business segment called SAGE Small Business Cloud Accounting. So we're pretty excited about that as well.
Great. Well, those will be good conversation pieces. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Della. I appreciate you having me on.